Blog Talk Radio. Everybody to the On That Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Today is our special Saturday Soap Talk edition. We was not supposed to be able to do it. We weren't able to do it yesterday. So today I'm dedicating the entire show segment to just you soap fans out there. My column hasn't been put out yet, but it's just been submitted. But we all have the same opinions about what's going on. Most of us do anyway. Okay, so our show has returned, and our show is now in the internet TV. You know, everything is new now, so everything is on the internet, everything is digital, and we have a new version of One Life to Live. So today we're going to all have our say about how we feel about this. So let me start in with mine. I most certainly do not appreciate the charged and profane overhaul that has taken place with our version, with this new version. I certainly do not appreciate the fact that we expect to come off to something that remotely resembled what ABC left off with. And instead, what we're having is HBO After Dark special of some sort. I have never seen Danny so sluttish, to be straight. She's on drugs. She's doing this girl. She's doing that guy. She's being raunchy. She's being disrespectful. I get they have to spice up these innocent characters after a certain time. Yes, this wasn't a spice. This was a total metamorphosis. So not too happy with that one. Let's see. We have Blair and Taya. Now, I understand that Todd's been a complete idiot. He's not very nice. But the way that they're treating Todd, this is me, the way they're treating Todd, I think is ridiculous. They don't have the right to tell this man to stay away from his own children while they're continuing to allow Victor, who everybody knows is not really Todd Manning, to be the first figure in Victor's life. I mean, in Victor's Todd's children's life. Frankly, they should be right now trying to make amends with these children, these broken down children, and trying to get them to start making repairs with their relationship with their father. And while we're on the subject of children and their daddies, explain to me, why is it that Victor is not sitting there and taking care of his own damn son? Because Sam has to be the most neglected child on daytime television and on YouTube. All I've ever seen them do is give Sam a quick hug, a pat on the head, and he has to be sent off to bed somewhere. He has to be sent off to bed somewhere. Okay? So, frankly, really all he has is a mother, which is Blair. I see two callers on the line, and I'll be bringing you guys in a little bit. One more thing that I would like to be bringing up is this whole situation, once again, with Todd Blair and Taya. Todd is being told that he needs to stay away from his children, regardless of how mad Jake is with him or Danny is or confused that they are. They're not Victor's children. So Todd needs to be able to step up because, frankly, he's been the only one acting like an adult since this thing started. Okay, he's the one that was there to catch Danny when she was going into trouble and was there to be when she fell. He's the one that's noticing that there are things that need to happen. He's the one that's noticed whether or not they're looking like he's part of it now. He's the one that's been trying to try to get to the bottom of things that don't look so right. Yes, he's a dark demon at times, but both of these women knew enough to have children with him. So, you know, tough noogies, deal with it. But regardless to what he is, he's their father, and they don't have the right to tell him that he can't be around them while they're sitting there giving him the rights to still be a fraud. Getting back to this, I'm not sure if Mike just gave me a buzz. I want to make sure that there's no clarity issues. If you guys are there, just bring my callers and they can tell me one way or the other. Hi, you're okay. On the air.
Hello?
I can hear me.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, can you hear me clearly?
I'm trying to.
Okay, give me a second. I'm going to switch mics, okay? One.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Beg your pardon? Yeah, I can.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
All right. Welcome to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. To call us, state your name.
Guy Insko.
Hi, you're Guy. You're one of my readers. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right, I'm going to get your thoughts on this new One Life to Live in just a second. Let me bring in our other caller to join the panel discussion. One second, okay?
Okay.
Oh, caller,
you're on the air?
Hi, it's Jillian.
Jillian, how are you? Okay.
I'm okay.
You guys are my first, so we're going to start off. This new One Life to Live, let me go to you first, Di. What are you thinking about it?
The whole show?
Yeah, overall.
Well, I'm tickled it's back on, but I am not happy with pretty much everything. Not One Life to Live, as I know it, and I've seen every show from day one.
And that's what my
just getting
was.
Some different readings. The kids, they're grown, they're doing their own thing. Is personality changes and the characters. The fact that Michael Leeson is not on there, I'm not happy about. But I understand that, yeah, he's got a wife and child and he's got to support himself and make a living when you can't do that with the council show.
Well,
I want John replaced. Because I don't want Natalie with anybody but John.
Right. You don't want Natalie with John?
No, I do. I definitely waited 8 years to pay off, and I haven't got it yet.
Okay, let me ask from Jillian. Jillian, give me your overall view.
My overall view is I'm very upset with the show at this time. Watching the kids on the show is kind of making it unwatchable for me because I kind of feel like it's watching the cursing makes it unwatchable. I feel like literally we're it's almost like we're watching a show just to listen to them curse for one. And I feel like, what's the point? We don't need to listen to them curse. I mean, we're watching a show to watch a show, not to listen to them say bitch and shit,
right.
For one thing. And besides that, I hate watching Danny and Matthew. That's another thing. I know Matthew is supposed to be like a Clint character on the regular One Life to Live. But if that's the case, we should be making him like a Clint character, not completely annoying. And Danny is like a pale to herself. That's just another thing. So it almost makes it unwatchable for me. The other things, I mean, I like watching the regular characters like Vicky and Clint and everybody else. That's okay to me. But just watching the kids kind of just makes me almost just not even want to watch it. And I feel so bad because I couldn't wait for it to come back. But it's so upsetting to me. It's so troubling that they went into all this trouble. And it's just, ugh,
Well, you two are actually readers of my columns and my fantasy fiction and everything, so you're familiar with what I'm about to say. You, mm-hmm. you guys have been familiar when I called it the Loon View Survival Express Kit, all right? This has been, if this is not of the biggest, I'm sorry, if this is not the absolute largest, most perfect example of a Pepsi and Rogaine moment, I don't know what is. I have never been so upset. I mean, you know what it is? This is what I'm feeling, what I believe, okay? I think that pretty much everybody else is in the mode, including the writers and the producers of this show. They're in the mode that, well, this was dead. You should be happy that we took it on. But then you have to look at it this way from a business standpoint and otherwise. This was a four-decade-old franchise.
Yeah.
This was a franchise that was a moneymaker, a viewer a catcher. This was a show that tackled issues that was taboo on public networking. So it lasted 4.3 years, you know, 4.3 decades. Okay, if you had the golden opportunity, okay, to step in and take on a project that's 43 years deep into a tough industry, what you should be thinking is that how do I do this as well or better?
I agree.
And they didn't. The other thing that got me was this, right? I think why we're all feeling like, you know, we're dating Rod Serling in the Twilight Zone right now is because the least that they could have done, I get that it's a different show, but they're too far-fetched from where the show ended off.
Yes, they are. I agree with you.
They're way too far off. Victor, remember, we all spent months. Now, you guys remember, I predicted that Victor was alive well before the show went off the air. I just knew he was alive, right? But the thing was, the way that they did it, if you remember my final column for the 2012 ABC network, I was completely ticked off because it was like they really cheated us, and after slicing us, and ripping us apart, they threw salt in the wound by giving us the one thing we all desired most in the most disgusting of ways. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So they gave us Victor, but on the last day of the show, when we couldn't see a cliffhanger be solved ever, there was no Monday to come back. You were saying?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say. Now that is the one part that I really do enjoy about the show is that he is back. I really do love that.
Right, but look at the way they brought him back, even on the new version, Jill. Right, the way they brought him back, he came in, swooped in, beat his brother, and left. That's the way
that
it looked.
That is
like
odd to me. Cause
yeah, why did we even get a moment to see him enjoy?
Yeah.
The way I feel is, Victor was taken away for however many years they made it. They made it now, right?
Yeah.
Victor was taken away from his family. He got a chance to walk firsthand in Todd's shoes to understand why Todd came back after him. So pissed off to him that he took his family, right?
Yeah.
Victor now got the chance to understand what it was like to feel displaced from his family because of somebody staging a death that didn't exist. But my feeling is that the way they should have brought Victor back is to give him time to cool down, absorb his family again, you know, deal with the grief his wife went through from losing their son, you know, get Danny back in order, tell all the children I'm back, enjoy life again. The first thing they did was bring him back with some crazy tattoo from some unknown organization ready to kill his brother, you know, and there wasn't even an organization involved on ABC. There was Looney Allison and a bunch of fake feds, you know, with you know, the mother from hell.
Yeah.
Being at the helm of it all. So I'm saying that they didn't even tie up or give us a good transition into understanding. Even the first show should have at least brought some flashbacks of what happened and then said, and now 5 years later or 3 years later. You know what I mean? That way
yeah.
we could at least get a little grasp of what the hell we left from.
That's
but
true.
But this craziness, it's disgusting, the things that they're doing here. Oh, wait, we actually have another caller, so give me a second.
Mm-hmm.
Call it. You on the air?
Hey, this is Joanne from Texas.
Hiya, Jill. How are you? Me, Jillian.
I'm good.
Okay, there's another Jillian on the panel. Jillian, say hi to Jillian.
Hi.
Hi,
Jillian.
Then we have Di. Di is on there. Di, meet the other Jillian.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, y'all.
Hi, and I'm Katie Barnett. So how are you? Well, you know that our talk today is about everybody's feelings on the new One Life to Live version. So I've gotten a little from both of the other panelists. What will you say about it, Jill? Jill number two.
Well, first of all, I have not watched it online. It just bothers me that I have to go at night and reach it and look at it online when I'm just used to watching it on TV like everybody else for the last 40 years.
Mm.
So I get my updates from you and from the bloggers, and it's just not good. I'm just not happy about it.
Thank you for reading for me as well. I'm not happy about that either. And as we were discussing, I don't know how early you were listening in, but we don't like the sexually charged overhaul of the characters of the show aura. I don't like the profanity. Oh my God, please, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say in my columns, I'm not a nun by any means, okay? We've all heard it, we've seen it, we listen to it every day, we've said it. But to see it on something that's supposed to be a daytime soap, that's where the fantasy comes in. And yes, the occasional word ass or the occasional bitch or damn that comes out, excuse me, this censorship here, but the occasional B word, A word, D word that comes out, usually when the writers wrote it into the script, it fit the intensity of the situation.
But don't you think that the reason that they're adding more of this is because they can get away with it because it's not on television, less censors, it's online?
I want to
keep pushing the button.
I think what they're doing is they're trying to make sure that since they took on such a deep project with big shoes to fill and big acts to follow, I think that they're trying to make sure that it appeals to the younger
mm-hmm.
crowd, or, you know, to make sure that people want to stay in with it. I see a lot of people stating that the profanity is more realistic and makes it more real, but it was never necessary for 43 years,
mm-hmm.
and it was a fantastic show. It was a fantastic show. You know, it's a fantastic show. And thank God that Clint and Vicky are still who they are, because they're the only people that sort of brings me out of the space fuzz. You know, where I go, oh, yeah, okay, whew, they're still Landview. That's what I'm doing. They're still Landview. I swear, I don't like the new recast of Matthew, but then again, with the way that they're writing Matthew's storyline, this guy fits better than Eddie Alderson, whatever.
I agree with that myself, Sister Leon.
Don't like the new recast for the Destiny character.
Me too.
I'm not saying that she's a bad actress, because she's actually pretty good. She's very good. But she's not a Destiny, not from what we know of Destiny to be. And
that
when
is
was
very
showing,
too, because she's a beautiful girl. But she's not Destiny. Nothing like her.
No, she doesn't go with Destiny. And you know what? Even the issue that the Destiny character is having, her whole look doesn't go with the suffering of that character's issue. It looks more like she would have more of a problem in a photo shoot.
I agree with that completely.
You understand? It seems like
mm-hmm.
her biggest problem, based on the way she looks and carries herself and delivers her acting, it seems more like her biggest problem would be breaking a nail at a photo shoot, because she seems more of the supermodel glamour type. Do any of you? Okay, you agree. What about the other panelists? Do you see what I mean with that? Okay, Jillian too.
I agree with you, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
I was going to just say that. I also think it's very odd how she rebuffs Nora's, Nora's always like, oh, can I help you with anything? And she's like, oh, no, I need to support my kid. Well, you know what? Matthew is not helping, and Nora's trying to help. And I find it odd that she's completely so nasty about it, because if Nora didn't try to help, this version of Destiny, I feel, would be like, Nora won't help. And so I feel like she's a little nasty about it, this Destiny. So.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, ladies, I'm saying gentlemen because there's some live callers listening. Okay, listen, I'm going to actually give you guys a nice little treat, because I got the full version of the theme song, which I happen to love. So I'm going to play that now in a short break, and I will be back to discuss stuff with you ladies, okay? And I love what I'm hearing so far. So hang on, ladies and gentlemen listening out there, this is Brand New Start. I don't know how to pronounce this girl's name, but she's one of Snoop Lion's proteges. They finally released an official full version of the song, and it's pretty cool. So pay attention. I'll be back in three and a half, okay?
Cool. Thanks.
Welcome back, everybody. Okay. Let me get this mic un-echoing. All right, I'm back. I'm sorry. Let me bring our guests back in. We have Jillian Voss from, I believe it's Virginia. If I got that wrong, Jill, just correct me. Jillian from Texas. And we have Di from North Carolina. All three apparently have revealed that they're my readers and have followed me, and I appreciate that. So let me thank you, ladies, live on the air. Very much so for being, you know, long-term supporters. I've loved doing this for Catherine since the year 2000, and you guys have made it completely wonderful. I mean, I can't tell you. We've all formed like a little family bond online, and we've been there for each other besides, you know, the soap talk. But the soap talk certainly has made it fun. So we're getting back to our overall impression of the new show. Now, I've seen a lot of people, and I think they're more speaking from just being so desperately grateful that the show is back. And, I mean, I am too. Don't get me wrong. You know, I love the theme song change. I do. I love that they've made the characters a little racy, but little racy and complete pod people. You know, that's there's a difference. I swear it was like, you know, Invasion of the Soap Opera Body Snatchers. It was ridiculous.
Oh my god.
So I'm looking at this and I'm going, what, this is Land View who? You know, like Land Who? Because I don't know who was what anymore. And then when I came in and I saw, wait, that's Destiny? That's Matthew? What? I don't like what they've done with Vicky and Dorian at all. When those ladies left the show, when Dorian was leaving her last final, we all know that they've had a love-hate relationship, but deep down, these ladies have always had a specific love for each other as well.
Hmm.
So to see that when it came out at the end, it was like, oh, we always knew that. No matter what Dorian ever did to Vicky, she was always aware that Vicky is susceptible to DID. So she never did anything that would totally obliterate her.
No, so, she did.
You know, for
Dorian
this
is a decent person.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say that again, Di.
I said Dorian really is a decent person.
Right.
That's true.
He and yes. Vicky have got so much history.
Right. They have. And she was always the one that when Vicky's first personality break took place and Dorian recognized it, she was the one that was trying to, she took like an instant secret protectiveness of her. And I remember that because she was the one that helped Dorian cry it out as one of her child personalities, if I wasn't mistaken, the little girl.
I think that's correct, yeah.
Right, it was her. And then Dorian was, when Dorian found that out about Victor Lord, was when she started having disdain for Victor. So she always, no matter what kind of cat fights they had, no matter what they did to each other, she always made sure it would never be something that would make Vicky split. So for them to do something that's going to obliterate Vicky, her family, you know, her well-being, that's not like Dorian. And I don't like when writers, you know, pile on things just to make it thick and juicy and not quality. So that bothers me. It's not to be critical of the writers as another writer. I'm saying that from a viewer standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm watching this from a viewer standpoint, and before I became involved with the soap writing aspect of everything, matter of fact, I don't think any of you know that that's how I got started as a recap writer for Cat, because when I used to read the recaps after coming back from a doctor's appointment and I couldn't see the show, I used to hate that I'm going in there. They're giving me, like, the two-minute highlights. Dorian and Vicky had a fight. Police were called. You know, Natalie and Seth came back after Vicky. Vicky was worried. And I'm sitting there like, that's not the show. And what does that do for me? So when I got started, I actually was given, like, an account of what took place and then added my own, you know, sarcasm in there. So that's how you guys got to know who I am now through the soap. That's how it was, simply because I was a viewer who hated skimpy recaps. I couldn't stand it. So when I hear all of you were telling me that, you know, reading my scripts or reading the recaps was like being in front of the TV, that means a lot to me because that's the way I wanted to be feeling when I read of somebody's recap.
That's the way you did it.
Right, yeah. That's what got me started. So when I'm speaking on terms of the writers, it's not being a professional critic, it's being a viewer critic. You know, why on earth would you sit there and write in that Jack is still a damn badass? You know, like he's still, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry about that. Why, you know, he's still a spawn from hell. But I will say this, I don't know if any of you agree with me, but I actually like Jack this week. I actually love what I saw with Jack this week. Jack is now just a normal smart mouth teen. Whereas before he was, you know, something from, you know,
the
from Rikers Island somewhere.
I like him now, too. He's better.
Much better. So that's you, Jillian Voss. You, Jill, from Texas?
Yeah, that's me, Jillian Voss.
Okay. And the other Jill, what do you think?
I haven't, like I said, I am still upset that I'm having to go online. I just want to know what y'all think about the One Life to Live writers. What they're doing with the new star and Todd and John, since they forced the characters off of General Hospital, what are they doing with those three characters now?
Oh, I don't know.
Right.
You know, first of all, I thought the whole merger thing with them was ridiculous anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the whole GH thing was ridiculous anyway. I don't like the fact that they never really cleared up the situation with Todd and Victor. I really don't. Because if you guys remember, when ABC was running it off. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Let me go back to something that Jillian from Texas said. Jillian, I kind of don't appreciate the online either.
I don't really either.
But the fact that I can watch it online, I guess I can come back to it as I see fit. I guess that option is good because we're in an online technology world now, but you're right. I would actually love to see sitting in front of my television.
I'm fine now. I'm going to try and catch up on it, but I'm just confused about what I've heard. It's just not positive, you know.
What it is that when you first look at it, please don't expect anything you saw on ABC because you're going to be thinking that you walked into a Red Shoe Diaries. Okay? If you've ever seen a Red Shoe Diaries episode on HBO, bingo. But only difference is it's with younger actors.
Yeah. You're gonna think you walked into, like, Team USA.
I'm telling you, when I saw that...
I just want to know, like, Bo and Nora, are they, you know, totally... I like them, but if they're going to all be totally changed into just doing what the little teenagers say, that is going to mess it up.
No, I think I personally, this is Jillian Boss, I personally think that Bo and Nora, I think they're all like, they are like themselves. It's just they focus a lot on the teenagers now.
Yeah.
And it's just, unfortunately, that's like a pain because it's really, to me, it's really annoying to watch the teenagers acting completely not like they were on the other show. Like they weren't, like Danny was normal on the show, now she acts like a little hoe. And it's just they focus so much on that you're like, what the heck?
Yeah, do you remember when she kissed a girl in the club? I was like, what?
Yeah. It's just bizarre. It's bizarre. And it kind of like Katie was just saying before, it's like the pod people. You're like, what is going on here? And I'd rather not watch people in a club for like 20 minutes on end. I'm like, I didn't want to watch a club. I mean, I don't really care about Shelter. That's my thing. But
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. It seems like we're in Landview Shelter. It's not even a town anymore. The other thing about Jillian from Texas, one of the things you do need to know about Bo, though, is that Bo also was one of the culprits of the super cursing on the air.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
He is, and that's really weird to take. That's weird, because it's like, Bo's like your dad. You don't want to hear Bo cursing. So that is weird.
Bo is like, you know, like the super preacher commissioner. You know, he had all the wise things to say, and I was expecting him to come out with a Bible and a cross, like, you know, arise and walk, my son, you know? So here he is coming out with, that's BS, and that's this. And I'm like, what? That's Bo. And I'm shaking and cringing, and I'm like, whoa, come on, hear that.
Even like Robert S. Wood, you wouldn't want to see him when you meet him. You wouldn't want to hear him be like, that's shit. You'd just be like, what are you doing? Don't say that. It's like, no, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But for real, I didn't mean to say that.
Funny.
But,
you try to keep it clean here, but this wasn't a clean remake, so let's just be real about it. And the thing was, there's just some things. Listen, I get as raunchy as I can on paper. I could say certain things in the column, and, you know, and it will still be printed. But I try my best to give a better image than that. I mean, I'm grown. We all go out there. We've cursed. We've stubbed our toe and said some fly, flint-flawing things out there. You know, we have. But do we have to make that the first thing that we stick in people's face to let everybody know that we're grown? You know, we're grown people, so we curse. See, we're not censored. And we're not censored. You still have issues that you're presenting to people. Yes, we all know that soap operas are fantasy because there could be a homeless person with a voice that becomes a millionaire overnight because Clint Buchanan saw it, liked her, and, you know, wrote a check and it was over. We know that the odds of that happening in real life is crazy, but we appreciate the fantasy and take a break from the constant news all the time.
Thank you.
You know, when they brought the what was that show, the oh, God, what was the show they put in our show's place, Jillian and Di?
Revolution.
Oh, see, we don't even remember the name. That's how good it was, people.
It was called Revolution.
The Revolution. See how quickly we forgot.
Yeah, and it got taken off the air.
The Revolution, the only thing it did for me was remind me that I'm too fat, I'm going to die because I eat everything, my deodorant got cancer. I don't understand. What do I want to hear that for a whole hour? Didn't they just say that on 10 o'clock on Channel 2 and the doctors? And the doctors said it with cuter-looking doctors, and Dr. Oz said it being his charming self. Why do I want to see some old person who's pissed off with the world, who don't live life, who's sagging in places he shouldn't be sagging, telling me I'm too fat?
That's right. That's right.
You know, you don't have the right to tell me that. And then you took my soap off to do something that everybody's been doing a dime a dozen. Seriously?
Yeah, it's
and,
so true.
And then I heard that the one, the All My Children remake, someone said that they actually had, I don't watch that one at all. I just want to let
you know.
I
don't either.
I don't. I watch My One Life to Live and that's it. But I heard that there was a scene in the new version that was depicting oral sex on online.
Oh. Huh.
What?
Much. Nothing sacred.
Are you kidding me? What are you doing? I mean, okay, get a little racy if you have to. But haven't they done that already when all they have is everybody's hopping into bed with everybody's man, brother, sister, mother?
Hmm.
I mean, my goodness. So now you have to show us in detail? Why don't you just ask Vanessa Del Rio to join the panel? Just ask Vanessa Del Rio to be an act, and she could just tell you what to do from here. When I heard Ben say, you know, BS, or I was like, what? What did they say, what?
Oh,
and they were like, and I was like, children, go in the next room. We can't watch this together, not this time.
Oh, wow.
Mm-mm.
I used to sit them down when the daytime version was on because there was teen drugs, there was teen sex, there was, you know, gang-related activities. Cole was always in trouble, so I was trying to use that to teach them, see, this is just a show, but it comes from a real thing. Who could do that now?
Yeah.
Because my children will look at me and go, see, Mom, they're doing it.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I told that. It's crazy, You were saying, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, not, certainly not an easy subject there to have to tell the kids after watching a TV show. That's awful, especially daytime TV show. That's crazy. Wow.
I don't care if they did put it in a primetime slot. It's still coming off with the name, the brand, and the logo from One Life to Live of ABC.
Good point. Yeah.
The same way I don't blame Prospect Park for when the failure happened from the ABC version. It wasn't Prospect Park's responsibility to bring in a good show. It was the people who owned it for 43 years to send it off with a good bang and give the new people a cleaned up, organized thing to work with from there.
That's a really, really, really good point, in my opinion. Sorry.
Well, Di, let me ask you about the specific storyline. So, Jillian from Texas. Right now, this week, what's happening is Blair, Todd, Taya, and Victor. The situation with them is that Victor disappeared after reappearing. He was sending Taya some cryptic messages on the computer. No, everybody's trying to find them because now they just received a note with a list of everybody's names, like a hit list. Okay?
Oh, geez. So, okay.
Okay, so Blair and Taya, of course, don't trust when Todd's telling them to trust him, but Todd is the only one who's been watching everybody and being on his toes. He's the only one telling the kids pretty much that you're going to act like a teen with me or you're going to be a kid, not the grown-up. You're going to sit where you are. The only one that can control them, okay? And he's the only one that's been keeping his eyes open. So he's been watching them from this camera room that he created, watching every aspect of their life. So Blair tried to turn it on him, saying that he's the spy, but then she got shot at. So now they finally got convinced to work with Todd. So Jillian Voss and Di, if you've been watching, what do you think of that right now? And then let Jillian from Texas in on what's going on.
No, I'm Joanne. Joe.
Oh, Joanne? You said
yeah,
Joanne.
Joe.
Oh, my God. Joe, that's you. I feel stupid, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't know that was you, Joe.
Girl, yeah.
Yes,
I love
okay.
There's three Jillians here, two Jillians. I don't know. No.
Okay, Jillian and Di, this was my very first reader. Jillian Finley. I'm saying Jillian, and you keep saying Joanne. I'm sorry, dear. I can't hear from this side because I'm old, so relax.
Okay, I'm good. I'm good.
All right. Well, Joe, I want to hear what you have to say. Because you and I, we were like, you know, we were the smart mouth buddies about soap, so let's go. You said Joanne, I just heard. I'm saying this in my next column. You do know this, right? I'm going to say, Joanne Finley fooled me.
Oh, my God.
I'm just glad to hear, see Jillian and Di. I'm just glad to actually hear their voices. So it's nice.
I've been calling
y'all.
You Jillian the whole time. I'm like, oh, Jillian.
I know. Well, I did it to you, Jillian, so you can get me later. Okay, so I know every single one of you. All right, I'm so sorry, Joanne.
No problem.
Because I thought that you weren't going to be able to join us. So when you said I heard Jillian. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
That's because I'm in Central Time, so it's an hour earlier here, so it's all good. Yeah,
that's right.
4 o'clock, it's really free here, so I'm like, all right, I'm in.
Oh, that's right, Joe. You have an advantage on everything. She's always finding ways out of stuff. But I can't stand it. Joanne is disgusting what they're doing. Todd is being told.
So, who is the new Todd?
No,
it's not Roger Howard, but who is it?
It is Roger Howard. It is Roger Howard, I mean. It is him. But what I'm saying is, they're making Todd stay away from his own children while they're allowing Victor to still be the dad. My feeling is, you gotta see them. No, you gotta stay away from them, Todd. You can't be here, Todd. And
that's
I'm like,
awful.
What? They're actually making him like watch his kids from behind the closet, and you know. And I'm going, what are you talking about? He's the only one acting like an adult. You're too busy. Oh, by the way. Can anybody tell me if Cutter still has a purpose?
No, they should totally just knock Cutter off that show. I hate Cutter. Sorry.
He didn't have a purpose then.
I mean, on the big TV. I ain't still on the Howdy make the cut to the online version.
Thank you. I agree wholeheartedly.
Oh, God. And then
years ago.
Well, it should be easier to keep up with, Joanne, because they cut it down to just 2 days a week now. So, you know, and what I don't like, okay, those of you that are watching.
About Star? Is Star on there, recast too?
No, Star's not on there at all. They just mentioned
her. She's
on
GH now as a different character.
Yeah, but so is Roger Howard. He's on a different character on the GH now. And he's the new Franco. He's only
He's doing a really good job, by the way. He's cute.
That better than James?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I wouldn't know where to catch up with because I haven't watched GH since Sam's baby was born in the rain. So
okay.
I
I watched it only because to catch up with the One Life to Live characters because I like Todd and Star.
Yeah,
and
that's
then,
why I watched it.
John, and then when they sued him and made him go off for like 2 months to go back to One Life to Live. And now they come back for One Life back on GH, and they're new characters, and they're acting like they've never seen each other.
Oh,
it's really weird.
And
it's really weird.
I'm telling you.
Star is in Roger Howard. They're back on there, and they did the whole story where they're different characters, but they just found out their mother, their daughter, their dad and daughter again.
Oh, God.
Okay,
yeah,
who's the new Franco? He's the new Franco, and she is Franco's long-lost daughter, living with the Puerto Ricans and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
I love her hair that color, though. It looks really cute. It looks really nice.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh,
and the chicks.
I wanted to just look at Roger, but, you know, I'm not too sure I give a flying florin anymore about. I'm too confused. Cause
I don't
know.
I want to know why he's on two different shows now, why he's still on One Life to Live. How are
you
doing
still
that?
Still at Todd. Now, what is this, like a shortage in actors because they can't come to grips with the Screen Actors Guild or, you know, the unions or whatever, and so they're doubling up like Tyler Perry does in his movies?
Well, Kristen Alderson put out a statement saying that she would be happy to go on One Life to Live anytime they asked her to. So
right.
Hopefully she'll decide
well,
to go
they can,
on.
They can give Cutter's money to her because Cutter has no purpose.
I agree. I agree.
At least could have had a storyline in the last one. You know, he was a con artist. But once they exposed his butt, he should have been off the lamb's view, the same way Rick Powers and that Dina girl should have been gone.
And what about Rama and Vimal? They can leave, too. They can go.
Oh, I didn't like him before. Ooh.
All right. Yeah. I actually liked the Rama and Vimal because Vimal was hilarious. But what I didn't like, look, you see what I mean? Once again, going to this, we need to push the sex aspect of this. Rama's talking about an open marriage.
Uh-huh. That's what I mean. I mean, I like her, too. Both of them are quite humorous. But, I mean, really...
I don't like her anymore. I don't like her anymore after that. Because right now, when she first came on, she was spunky before her husband. Like, she'll stand up with her little self to everybody that's out there. But I don't like nothing she is now.
No.
So, frankly, I think Vimal should find somebody new because he's hilarious and funny. He's neurotic all the time.
He is funny. I mean, I feel like they don't serve a whole big purpose, but they are funny. He is funny, excuse me. But...
Well,
yeah.
Ladies, I do want to make a little bit of an announcement because I know I've been saying it, but I haven't made it official yet. I will be resuming my fantasy scripts, and I'm working on number 40 as we speak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I think that the last one that you guys read was when the guy that Brody hired to go after Ford, he shot up Landfair and Jessica's down right now, so it's going to pick up from there.
Wow, you are a busy little bee.
I was going to say, busy girl.
Yeah.
I couldn't take it anymore. I'm like, you know, and I had this feeling. I told Kat, but, you know, Catherine, she's so sweet. She makes sure she stays neutral. I told Catherine, frankly, I think the fans are going to start getting really pissed off with what the way that, you know, it's not going to be what they think, and they're going to keep looking for the fantasy scripts. And sure enough, I got about 42 fans that inboxed me with that.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
So I said, okay, it's time for me to go back and do what I was doing before. So, you know, officially, I already sent the spoilers for the next fantasy script out to her. She hasn't printed anything new yet, but I think it goes out with the newsletter. Like the new column is going out as well. So,
wow.
I'm doing that now. I don't know what they're going to do with this halted production thing, but they did say there's like 40 shows pre-taped. So
it's not like
it's just going to not be shown. They're going to show it until the 40th script, I guess, is over. But it's just that I think that they're going to keep whatever's still written, they're going to play it out until the last one is done. I don't understand, though. You know, they had even extra time. See, this is what gets me. They even had extra time to even do more preparation because... Remember that they were ready to go in January, but then something happened and the negotiations fell through. If they saw a inkling of hope to redo it after that flop, they should have made sure that they were on top of their game with what's coming in.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's a big act to follow. It's a big act to follow. And you know, you have to know that you gotta you need to study your predecessor very well so that you could do as well or do better.
Yeah.
Because that was the show that proved itself for 43 years.
Me, yeah, true. Hey, I want to know, did any of y'all watch the Daytime Emmys last Sunday?
I did not catch them.
Okay, I did. Like comedy errors. I thought I was watching like the outtake reel and, you know, funniest videos or something.
Oh, wow.
It was bad. It was like so non-professional.
Oh, no kidding, really?
Yeah, it was on Headline News instead of Nancy Grace. It was on that channel.
Did One Life to Live win anything?
No, because their show wasn't up when they were nominated. You know, the nomination thing went from, like, last year to you know, June to June or something. So they should be nominated this coming up year. But they did have Erica Slezak come on and present. She was there.
That would have been nice to see. She probably would have been the only thing worth seeing that day.
She was very pretty. And what's her name? Kristen Alderson. She did win for younger actress.
For General Hospital.
Why not?
For General Hospital?
She won, and she got up, and she thanked all the people from One Life to Live because she won, of course, for playing Star, but on General Hospital. But she thanked all the people from One Life to Live and her brother, you know, for being her inspiration and helping her with her role. And she loved, and she was crying because she said she's loved playing Star for 15 years, and now the, you know, the character's gone and everything, and she has to play somebody else.
I think that is so sad. I really do.
It was. I was happy for her, but I was sad, you know, because she was basically saying goodbye to Star.
It is so weird watching her on General Hospital and watching her with Roger Howard and not having
him.
See,
that's why I don't. I have brain fry. As much as I can take and do all at once, my brain would be fried. It'll be like I stood right over some chop suey shelf and said, "Here, take my brain and cook it." I couldn't take it. Ladies,
the girl playing her mother, what's her name, that used to be on As the World Turns?
Oh.
Marlon.
Nope, you got me lost.
Yeah,
Mara,
I don't know.
Well.
She's been, Mara or whatever. Some biatch from there, and she's all on there watching it out. I'm like,
Joe,
you're a biatch on every show you're on, so whatever.
All right, this is Joanne. Okay, here's my take. Let me get a little, you know, community responsible approach to this for 1 second. You guys have all read my columns for years, so you know my biggest pet peeve is the fact that regardless of the fact that it's a fantasy show, the things that make it entertainment are real life issues, and these are issues that teens are going through, that a domestically beaten woman is going through, that an insecure man is going through, teen fathers, teen mothers. So one of the things, and it's even a business law in America, anybody that's opening up a product or a service or anything that's going to be in the public eye or public view, they have a community responsibility, a social responsibility to enhance or benefit that person with the product or service that they're given, especially in a person's community. So here's my deal. You are an entertainment show where you are using not just one age group, but 2 to 3 age groups. Yes, the viewers that are watching you are usually housewives, right? But housewives usually have their children in front of the TV with them, or, you know, taking a nap somewhere in the other room. My thing is, for 43 years, One Life to Live tackled the most controversial, taboo to public view issues on live TV, and they did it well. They were the first show to put prostitution out there on public TV, if you remember. Judith Light played the first prostitute.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And they did it in such a way where you could see the raciness of it, but at the same time, you saw the social responsibility, the message in it. You understand? And then at the end, they used to have the public service announcement. They don't even do that anymore. They used to say, if you or anyone you know has been a victim of prostitution or blah, 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 tell me when was the last time you've seen that happen. Even when the show was going off the TV network, they don't do that anymore. Now it's all about, hey, everybody wants to do sex, throw sex, pow. Hey, everybody wants to curse, throw sex, pow. You understand? Hey, she's 15. Nowadays, the girls get pregnant at 15. Just bring her out. Let her sleep with 3 guys and a girl, and she can have a baby.
Yeah.
They got Danny prancing around with two male roommates, and she's like, "Oh, please, dude, I got this one. Let's do this." I was like, if I was your mother, you know what I'd be doing with how many straps?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I say. It's like, and then I don't like the fact that they had Todd coming in and bribing her love, you know, to love him as a daughter, bribing him by helping her defy her mother. That is not the way you keep a child intact. She walked out of Taya's house, and he goes, "Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, so you need a couch? I'll get you a couch." You know, and that's a real way to let this already fractured, silly, crazy girl, you know, get better. Because they're all a bunch of teen pod people. I'm telling you, it's like nor food of the gods. Somebody drank some white liquid coming out of a plant in the garden, and they went bananas. I'm like, what did you do? What was in that energy drink? You know, so seriously, they really need to have
to be a little more. There is a way to be raunchy, to be racy. There's a way to be exciting. There's a way to keep your viewers' attention without showing all the raunchy party life sides of things. Because did anybody else remember Rick Powers?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh my God! Did he not gross you out just when they said he was going to be on?
Oh yeah, he's horrible.
He is. Listen, it's not like all of us don't know what sex is either. But Jesus, this man had Alpo drool all over him. Like he was looking. He was looking like a dog looking at a can of Alpo. I'm sitting there like, what?
Dog looks at Alpo.
Yeah, serious. Or like you know, like the begging strips. You know, he'd have his tongue out every time he was talking. And I'm sitting there like, oh my goodness, who would want you anyway, you plastic chisel person? Jeez, and you know that he was Terry Kahn, the girl who played the fake Aubrey? That's her husband or her fiance or something.
No kidding, really?
Yes, I was like, ew, perfect match.
Oh God, yeah.
Yes, that I forgot what his name is. I don't see. I didn't even like him. I didn't know what his real name was. But Terry Kahn, who played the blonde Aubrey Wentworth, that is her real life lover or boyfriend or whatever the case is. They would. That's who she's with.
Huh.
And when he came on, I was like, oh my God, what are you?
Wow.
What are you? No. Oh, by the way, guys, what do you think of the new the theme, the full version?
Oh, I like it.
Oh, I love it. I do. This girl is about 10 pounds soaking wet. She's about 2 feet tall with the heels, and she has the voice of 3 powerhouse divas, and I love it. I completely love it. And by the way, ladies, when this show is over, if you miss it or you miss any part of it, there will be an archive link you guys can refer back to. But the whole thing is we got our show back, yes. But
yeah.
It shouldn't have been so far spaced and removed from the last one. Regardless to what the fact that it was canceled, we still needed to see some similarities or connection or transitional something from what we ended with. Because the very last thing that they showed online before the credits rolled was Victor struggling with gag and binds while stupid Alex.
And they haven't explained that yet.
Nope.
Okay. I'm gonna take a small break because I have to check some equipment here one more time. Okay, I want you to hear this group. It's a group of 6 very young guys and girls. You know, they defy all of the bad things in youth now. Like they don't want to hear about sex. They don't want to know about being violent. So you know what they did? They formed a music group. And together, not only did they use the music to stay above that, but they're promoting Christian music in their music. So I would like for you to hear this single. It's called I Will Be All Right. And they're very inspirational to me. Please tell me what you think of it. It's only about 4 minutes long, okay? And I'll be back in 4 minutes.
Seems like I'm climbing a mountain.
Climbing Mount Sorrow.
It feels like the time.
And it feels like the time.
When all I've leaned on.
When all I've leaned on.
Catches me by surprise.
Catches me by surprise.
Tell me, where's the refuge?
Where's the refuge?
Where's the joy?
Where is my paradise? I just lift my hands and say,
sing the
rain. Make it through the storm. Make it through the night.
As long as I'm with you.
As long as I'm with you.
I've got a feeling.
I will be alright. I will be alright.
Now I speak to my problem.
I speak to my problem.
I speak to every circumstance.
Ooh, yeah.
trust and confess.
I trust and confess.
So we lift our hands and we
say, I just lift my hands and say, yeah, yeah.
I'll make it.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here today talking about the new version of the online version of One Life to Live and the Return. The panel that you've been hearing, if you're just joining us, we're all not really too happy with the overhaul, the sexual overtures, the profanity, the profane ways, the perversion, the drug use. You know, we're not too happy with the excess of this. We're speaking today with DJ Insko and Jillian Voss. These girls have been following me for some time now with recaps and discussions of this manner, and I always love to hear what they have to say. So I'm going to get back into one more thing about the transition from the... I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. The transition from the old storyline into the new online version. My problem with it is that there's so many things about it that makes it hard for you to get absorbed into the storyline, you know, as One Life to Live. I mean, listen, if this was a new show, we saw it from the beginning so we could get into it as a different show. But if you're coming in as One Life to Live, it's going to be very hard for veteran viewers to go, okay, well, when did this happen? Okay, yeah, I can do this. Because we're expecting to get at least a good chunk of what they left with. So that's my feeling, and I'm going to start back with you, Di. Your feeling is?
Huh?
I said my feeling is that no matter how much we all understand, it's a new online version. It's really hard for those of us that's been watching the show since the very first day to not expect a full chunk of what the TV version ended off with to be put into this new one. So my question is, what was your thinking on that? Di?
Oh, I'm sorry. I well, shoot. I know it's not going to be the same, but I'm just not even watching it anymore. I hate to say it, as much as I complain about not having it anymore.
Right.
But it just don't get it for me. I mean, everything came to a certain head, and now everything is like, I feel like when I turn on my online stuff and watch this, I feel like I've stepped into the Twilight Zone.
I can see that.
Nothing is familiar. And this is a show that I used to go out of my way to arrange my life around the show. You know, doctor's appointment, okay, well, I'll be leaving, that'll be over, and I can go then. You know, I really could care less.
That's
now, what happens? It's just totally blown my mind.
I'm in agreement with Di on this one. I feel really bad. I feel personally bad about this. Like, I was so truly excited when the show was coming back. Like, I was like, we did it. The fans did it. And it's like, I can't tell you. Like, I feel like I lost a family member right now because I am not tuning in as much to watch right now. And I feel like the quality of the show is just, it's because it's not matching the shows that were on the air and that were on television. And it's just, I feel like it is because some of the writing is maybe a little subpar, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But like Di said, I think it's just not doing it for me. And it's not the actors. The actors are, with the exception of, well, no, it's not the actors, except for maybe Matthew, because I really don't care for him.
You've got that trust fund brat. I don't really get accountable for anything attitude, absolutely.
And, you know, I'm like, I feel so bad, though, because I'm like, I don't know why. It shouldn't bother me that I feel so, it shouldn't bother me so much, but I feel really bad.
But I do understand what you mean, Jillian, because we did spend all this time, you know, screaming and hollering and chanting and, you know, striking and protesting. But, you know,
years were wasted trying to get this thing back on the air, and then they do what they've done.
Yeah, it's like they don't care, you know what I mean? It's like the people that went so far as to produce the show, or whatever, I'm probably using the wrong words, but to go out and fund the show, don't care. And I'm like, why would they not care? They went out and they put this money out to put the show. I mean, I just don't get it. I'm like, I'm just, there's something we're not seeing, maybe. I just don't get it. Because why would they go and do all this and put out this show and put these actors through all this as well, the actors too, only to produce a show that's not as good quality? I just don't understand. It's just...
Well, I agree with you, and I'm going to tell you, this makes me beg the question. Let's say that they took over and everything went according to schedule back in January of 2000, back in January. What would they have written like then? And you're right, it's not the actors, because the actors are not, they're doing a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm thinking is happening is that every actor has to go by what's written, what's given to them on the script.
Mm-hmm.
So it's their job to take, it could be junk, but it's their job to take that junk and make it a masterpiece.
Yep.
Based on the way to give it out. So I can't say it's the actors. Even Andrew Trishitter, when he was acting in the beginning, I think maybe he was raw because I wasn't getting any chemistry for him as Jack, not at all. And I'm actually liking him so much more now. Like, there's a little
Me
more
too.
Expression.
With
Me him,
too.
You know, yeah, he's a little more intense with his acting. As a matter of fact, his the character himself is a little more toned down from the, you know, from the firework kid that he was. But, you know, even all of that. So there's really no acting problems there. The problem that I'm having is it's a whole different damn show. It's all, this is not meant to be on TV. It's not meant to be called One Life to Live. You could call it Landview all you want, but it's not Landview. And I guess when we were all out there doing our megaphones and our picket fence stuff and our flood letters and our flooding emails, we were expecting that they understood it to mean we want One Life to Live back the way we had it with whatever changes need to come, but not a metamorphosis. You know, we didn't want, you know, it to go from a caterpillar to a butterfly to a caterpillar.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
And that's what happened here. That's what I think happened. Despite what enjoyment you can get from it, it's still not the same. I could get enjoyment from another show, too. But it's just
fact,
you know, but it's the fact that this was One Life to Live, so there is and always will be an expectation of vintage Landy, what we saw before. And it's hard to do that when all you're hearing is, oh, get the F out of here. Oh, you know, BS. Oh, this. You know, so it's hard to see that Destiny is a single mother who had sex with her best friend because she thought he was going to die. And, you know what I mean?
That's
and
true.
Then, you know, turn around and all you could see her now doing is leaving her kid with the babysitter, getting dressed, and dancing with six guys in the club. It's hard for you to know that she's just, you know, releasing some stress. We can't see that when all we're seeing is this supermodel glamorous girl dressed in some raunchy clothes going to a club, and every time you see her, she's talking about going to a club and having a good time, especially coming off of the Destiny that we knew.
Yes, exactly. The Destiny that we knew would not do that. I mean, and not to say that she's a, you know, the character is a crazy person for doing that. That's fine if she wants to do that, but the Destiny we knew wouldn't do that.
And what we know of Destiny Evans wouldn't do that. Regardless of which actress played her,
mm-mm.
Destiny Evans' character is she's a shrewd, smart girl who had her eggs up there because she was teaching the adults in her life something.
That's right, and she would have smacked Matthew upside his head if he treated her like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just,
yep.
It's
just hard to try to put this watered down version, and then it's only a half an hour, now it's only 2 days a week.
That's right.
There are people that you know, like you can go back and see it, and then even the way they list the titles, you don't know which part you're in. Chapter one, oh, it's season one. Chapter one, part two. Chapter two, part eight. You're like, what?
I thought, you know, see, thank you for pointing that out, because I thought that was just me. I was like, I must be really dumb, because I can't figure out which one to watch now. So,
you know what you got to do to bring your head down from the confusing space matters? What you need to do is look at the date. After you click on whichever one you're picking, look at the air date, because that's the only way you're going to know where you are.
Okay.
I got stalled for that a while because there was a couple of days that I owed the commentary, and you know I had been sick, so I wasn't able to get to it on time. So I go and I'm like, all right, well it's only Tuesday and Thursday. I did watch it last Tuesday, so I'm missing Thursday and this Tuesday. And I'm looking and I'm seeing that there's a fourth part. But it's really the bonus one. Why do I care about more One Life to Live?
Yeah, that's true. That's so
why
true.
Do I care about the bonus features and the people that they have on there? We've seen this on the, what was that, Soap Talk? And the one at night? Remember the one on the Soap Channel? Yeah, they used to have a whole big one-hour special to that. Why do I care about some clip on Hulu?
Oh, yeah, that's so true, yeah.
But I will say I will give Vicky mad props this week for blowing up on Queen about meddling in Natalie's life again. I love the way she ripped into him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you watched it.
Oh, Vicky.
Okay.
That was classic, Vicky.
You saw that, right? Actually, I thought it was a little Nikki Smith without the drinking and the sex. Frankly, she totally went Nikki with Vicky's mouth. Because how the hell do you dare send your grandson's father a Dear John letter and file a restraining order in your daughter's name? And first of all, what does that say about the stupid court systems out there?
Since when have you heard of a person going to file a restraining order by proxy if they're alive, well, and breathing?
Oh.
I always wondered about that and about all these DNA switches.
Yeah.
They must have the most unsecured, confidential labs in the history of the earth. There's been about, what, five switches, five times, switch back, switch to, switch from. Get out of here. How do you not have protection on something as confidential as a DNA report? And then everybody got into it. Marty got in it. It was like, it was like pin the baby, on, pin the dad on the baby. It's yours. Nope, it's yours this week. No, but it's really John's. All right, so by the way, I'm going to give you guys a couple of previews about what's coming up. I'm going to be returning Marty soon to the fantasy script. So I don't know how Marty. Work that is, but if you remember, she was when Patrick returned, he announced she's pregnant. So,
aww. I thought she carried baby.
Fantasy Landview. So, in Fantasy Landview, and there's something else that's coming up, and I think I'm going to try to return Luna and Al, you know, as angels again and stuff. Because I got a really big response to that, and plus I love those characters. Do you remember them?
Oh, God, yeah. Luna, heck
yeah.
Great.
Luna, Gabrielle, nice. Max.
Oh, God, yeah, Gabrielle and Max.
Let me ask you something. The song that I just played, what did you think of it?
Oh, I liked it.
Those are six they're all under the age of 20, every single one of them.
Oh, wow.
All of them are under the age of 20. They don't like what they see. They don't like watching the shows on TV that's supposed to be, you know, youth-oriented. And that's why I played them today, because this is one of the things that we're talking about. There's way too much profanity in this new version. There's way too much sexual references and overtures. And like I said, I'm not, you know, Mother Teresa or, you know, Sally the Nun or Sister Mary, whatever. But I don't need to hear it every 3 seconds before a commercial break.
Thank you. You can walk out the front door near enough of it.
Yeah, I don't need to hear it. And matter of fact, when I say it, if I say one, it's usually I got slammed by something and it hit me and it came out, it flew out. But, you know, like I said, we're not, you know, whitewashed angels, but do we need to hear it all the time? I know about crack and smoking weed and all that other stuff, too, by people around me. Do I need to see people smoking it all around me every time I'm sitting in a restaurant somewhere?
No.
There are certain things that you know it exists, you hear it, you're aware of it, but you don't. You need to have a choice. Make a choice of saying that I like this show, but do I want to watch it with all this going on?
That's a good call. That's a very good call.
Well, I did like it. I don't like what they're doing with it right now.
I don't like what they're doing with it either, not right now.
I'm upset with the thing about Natalie and John.
Me too. Because that was the other point about this new version, too, that I didn't like. But go ahead and finish, and I'll get back to that point. Just remind me.
Okay. Huh?
So, Natalie and John, you were saying.
I'd recast him or something.
Sure
needs to go jump in a dumpster.
I say go poof. The man
and Michael Easton is adamant about, you know, staying in Los Angeles and staying with General Hospital, and his character sucks there, too.
That's disgusting. I like his character.
I like John's character, but you know what? Like she said, at least recast him or something. But
oh, no, I'm sorry. I liked his character on General Hospital.
You like his character?
Same.
Well, Michael Easton is going to be a hard person to recast.
He's going to be a hard person.
They got to have that soft, whispery type voice.
Oh, yeah.
And confidence and them piercing blue eyes.
That's going to be hard.
How are you going to do that? it has to have somebody with that type of quietness but assertiveness, you know, that type of commanding power without the loud mouth. So that's going to be hard. And then to match him up with Natalie.
It's going to be hard.
It's going to be hard. But I agree with Di on the fact that they should make provisions for Natalie and John to have at least a closure or a shot. One of the things that also got me upset with the new version was they totally eliminated that fact altogether. Natalie and John just found out that Liam was the son. They both just finished getting the bad airs out the way when Brody was in the way and all that stuff. And then the show went off the air. Then we wait all this time. Finally, we get our wish. And the first thing I see is Liam is talking.
Yeah. That was a bit odd.
He's 4 feet taller. He's talking. And guess what? Natalie's not home with him. She's in a party dress.
She's out slutting it up.
Yeah, thank you. You know, you said it, I didn't. I'm the show host.
I get to say the mean things. She's out
the viewpoints of the guests is not necessarily the viewpoints of the host. So I say that every so often. No, but
sorry.
Honestly, no. I'm only kidding, sweetheart. But no, honestly, I didn't like the way the new version totally clipped off some major transitional points, some major links, and made them different. When I saw Gary, Danny telling Daya, look, what do you want? I'm 21. You haven't spoken. I was like, 21? I was like, what? I said, I don't remember when you got past 16.
That's right.
And then, like I said, they never had any type of transitional introduction, you know, where, you know how they have, like, the little pre-narrative without the talking. They'll show you a little something, and you can read it and say, oh, okay. So what happened with Victor? Okay, all right. They didn't even announce that when they were about to bring the show back on. So show aired, I think it was April 29th, if I'm not mistaken. No, you mean to tell me from January all the way through April, or from March through April when it was a done deal, you couldn't start giving the fans a little bit of an understanding so that when they actually saw the show, we would understand it?
100%.
I thought that they were actually showing the production staff on camera. I was like, who's that? I was like, who is that? That's Destiny? What do you mean? And who's the kid? That's true? Drew was just born.
Yeah,
if you
Drew.
Remember, the show went off the air with Destiny giving birth.
That's right.
They couldn't even age him a couple of months. He had to be a totally walking, talking 2-year-old. A walking, talking 2-year-old. That's what he did.
Realistically, that's what he would be.
Realistically, but they didn't even make it through the first year. How did they make it to the second year? And he's spilling stuff. And I didn't like what they had Matthew do when he spilled the juice on him.
I did not like any of it.
Yeah, he's like a total dweeb, man. It's like he's just a real deadbeat. And they didn't have Matthew being a deadbeat on the way out.
No,
they didn't. And he's turned into a total deadbeat.
He is a total jerk.
Yeah, this new one. He doesn't even belong to Matthew.
He doesn't be canon at all.
No, he is absolutely not. I mean, it's absolutely completely upsetting to watch Matthew. He's a total jerk.
Yeah, it's really disgusting. And you know what gets me? If you remember, Bo was talking to Asa's picture and said, Pa, you know, we're finally getting it, and I'm ready to take my place as, you know, the patriarch, you know, of the Buchanan. And Matthew came to Destiny and was actually attached to his son because that's how Drew's name got picked. That was how he picked Drew's name. He said, Dad, I was thinking about naming him after my brother. And David thought it was him. And he said, oh, that's nice, little bro. He was like, no, not you, David. I love you. But I was speaking about my brother, Drew, because Drew got killed.
That's right.
All right. That was where they left off with Matthew.
for them to have picked him up 3 years later as a deadbeat, like he never had any involvement with his kid so whatsoever, that was a little too much of a difference. That was a little too much of a difference. Okay, too much off of where the way it was going. So what they should have said was that it's going to be a brand new show. That forget what you remember, forget what you heard, but then how could they do that? They would have no storyline.
Yeah.
It would be like Todd and Star's totally unrelated characters on GH.
Yeah.
You know, so that would make no sense. And I would be confused as all dizzy dogs out there if I was watching with GH right now.
I like General Hospital. It's a pretty good show.
No, I mean, I couldn't watch the Landview characters be not Landview characters.
That is
hard.
It is hard to watch.
And then go back, and plus I'm doing fantasy scripts, I'll be like the cable guy in that movie. I'll be swearing, no, the real life of Harry S. something, I would be him thinking I would quit the channel, living a life in another show. I'll go nuts. I would go bananas. I'd be like, wait a minute, oh, I'm not Franco. Wait a minute, whoa, okay, hold it, wait. No, it's too much. And Clint trying to be playing God again. He should be kicked in his old arthritic kneecaps.
Wouldn't have put it so nicely, but
yeah,
he should be.
Just get a couple of people with billy clubs to cap him in the knees. Because what is he doing still playing with people's lives?
Yeah, you would have thought he would have learned by now, but that's our Clint.
Oh, look. Yeah, but you know what? Even he was learning his lesson. You know, when he kind of reunited with Rex, you know, reconciled with Rex, you know,
that's
was getting
true.
There. What's that? It's like you don't know how to build a good story without it being, you know what I meant to tell you? I got some criticism, and I think you guys read a post once when I first started the fantasy scripts, okay? And I remember that somebody reading loved the scripts, but was telling me that I was making everybody a little too lovey-dovey and forgiving. And I was like, okay. I said, well, if you could recall, when it came to certain things with the family, Todd and would get in bed with a snake if it would protect his daughter and his son. You understand?
Yeah.
So one of the things that I said was, why you're saying everybody's too lovey-dovey, so your perception is that unless everybody's at odds, cheating on each other or whatever the case is, then we can't have a soap opera. Now, I know where to come up and make certain things still be a little mess. So right after I wrote the next segment, she inboxed me back and said, you know what, I never expected that to come, so I retract what I said.
Oh, that's awesome. No, I don't recall that. That's awesome.
Recall
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I had an actual commentary reader that before the scripts came on. She told me, I always thought you were always being a little too negative, you know, on the shows every time you came out. But since reading this fantasy script, she said, you've captured every character's essence true to form. So I was telling her, you do understand that my commentaries are my viewpoint.
Yeah, really.
I feel, I'm not saying that I speak for all of you. It's what I see, and whatever you agree with or comes out that hits at you, you can relate to, and if not, you can disagree. It's a free world.
Wow.
But I think after that point came out, that's when everything started to sort of gel together. But regardless to what, writers, producers, directors, editors, they all have the responsibility of delivering the final content. And what needs to happen is they need to stop emphasizing that the only success in the shows nowadays is sexual or profanities or violence or, you know, people doing what today's kids do. We become homosexuals or we get involved with this or we do that. These are the type of things that they're pushing up to the front page. Whereas for 43 years, come to the front page and has never been profane or overly sexually overtured, and guess what? It was just as effective, if not better, but much more effective.
My attention for 43 years, and it's a large part of my life.
Yeah, I
agree. I'm just about that age, so I've been watching.
Denying now. Want my payoff. I think I earned it.
I think so.
I do not believe you are beyond 43 years, Di. You have such an energetic spirit. But honestly, I don't think they need to push up that part. Because then, you know what that tells me? To me, I feel as a writer, I mean, for me, let me just clarify. My feelings as a writer is, if I put all the smoke screens and the fluff and wrap into the writing, then my real skills aren't showing, or I don't feel I have any. There's a way to incorporate stuff that people will be not attracted to, but drawn to, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Without it having to be the smut that they're making it out to be, or the profane way that they're making it out to be. So my feeling is, I can incorporate sex into my writing. I can incorporate violence into the writing. I can incorporate all these controversies into the writing. But do I have to make it be the front page attraction? Does it have to be the front page attraction?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it needs to be. And I don't think, like I said, I'm not writing things where I'm saying, you know, oh, geez, or Flynn Florin, or darn. You know, you guys have read my writing. I'm not saying that I'm speaking June Cleaver. Okay, I'm not Little House in the Prairie or anything like that. But there is a way to incorporate all of those things without it being the front page attraction. I don't want people to be drawn to something that I do because they're going to say, man, there's so much sex in that stuff. Ooh, you need to read this.
Boring.
I don't want that. I want people to say it's good work. And then when those things come in, look, I don't know if you guys remember the last segment I wrote with those fantasy scripts about what just happened with Bo and Nora.
Mm-hmm.
When you know, with the kidnapping, right? Do you know where my controversy was the fact that Finn made him watch?
Yeah, that was pretty low. That was really pretty low.
Right, that was the raunch and the extreme of it all, and that was the controversy in it. But do understand that when I wrote it so that I could show what the victims of loved ones of victims are go through. That's why I presented it that way, because everybody, you know, it's not just the victim. The actual physical victim of some crime, it's the family members who love these victims that go through things too.
Trust me, I've been there and I know it.
Right, so
I understand that part. I think you did an excellent job writing it.
I appreciate that very much, Di. I do. It's just that I knew that was going to be something that, you know, would come up. But actually, I had a very... very wonderful response to it, and I was like, wow, because everybody related to the entire scenario. Everybody related to, wow, like this couple is going to have a problem, and nobody could look at it from both point of view until they read it from that side, which made me feel good, because that was an awareness attempt, and somebody did. A crime, you know, that's why when people commit crimes against people, it's not just the victim that you hurt.
It's not a whole slew of people.
Right. Okay. So that's one of the things that I feel that as a writer of a soap that hundreds and millions of people are going to watch, or a movie, you really need to try to not just the entertainment part of it, you know, but what happens after that? Now, in movies, it's different. I think movies, you expect what you expect at a movie. But when you're looking at something that comes on daytime, be it twice a week, once a week, 5 days a week, something that people are going to be coming back to repeatedly and form relationships with and bonds with certain things, you need to know how to relay or convey messages without somebody getting the wrong impression from getting up from the couch after watching something you put out there, like the 16s and pregnant and the bad girls clubs and things like that. So that was my problem with this new version. It's too much of, let's just do the movie style smut and cinema and bring them in, because blood, sex, and drugs sell.
They've already done that, been there, done that, and they need to move on to something else.
Yep, I agree.
That's true. And if you're as skilled a writer as you want to be, then you take something that's been a dime a dozen done and do it your way and make it a whole new thing. And at least that should be your daily strive goal as an artist. So that's the things that I try to do. I mean, listen, there's been so many fantasy scripts online. Do you know how many people told me, oh, everybody's doing that. You sure you're going to feel okay about it? I wasn't doing it for the competition. I did it because all of us did not want the way our show ended. And that was the least that I could do in a sense. And I was having fun doing it. And each and every time I sat at the computer, new ideas was coming up. Like right now, if you guys remember, in the last script, Judge Fitzwater and Mayor Finn were going at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was the one who got her Judge Fitzwater's son killed. So that's about to be a whole new development because Fitzy is going after Finn. So it's a lot of stuff, and I enjoy that. But then with that, I have to make sure that, because I have a lot of teens that are reading the scripts as well.
Oh, wow.
A lot of
yeah.
teens are reading the scripts as well. So now I have to take note on, okay, I just put out this really big thing. So you know what I have to do? I have
Jill, can you hear me?
I can now. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you hearing me quickly?
Huh?
You hear me clearly?
I can now.
Okay. I got to go back. The other mic just dropped. There's always been something going on with this, with the equipment since we've been here, but we're going to get it together. Just a second. And I think Di dropped too. She got disconnected. So we will continue because we have just a few more minutes left anyway. But
kind of cutting out now, but I can still hear you.
Okay. Yeah, Di just rejoined us. Hang on. One second. I'm coming in on the other side. Just hang on with me, okay?
Sure.
Hi, can you hear me, Jilly?
Yes. Mhm.
Ah, there we go. Okay. This is just so crazy. That's probably all those non-soap fans, right? Kidding. Yeah. Di is dropping in and out. She's coming in and she's going out. So when she comes back in, we'll get her. But honestly, you know, this has been a wonderful chat because I know that you guys have read the commentaries, and that's how I feel. And some of the times when you see me capitalize things, that's how intense I'm feeling about that subject when I'm writing. But, no, she didn't come in yet. Okay. It's just that I do get upset because these guys have the power to do so many things.
With just the pen.
They can save a character or drop a character. They can, you know, they can save a life or break a life, you know? And regardless to what they do with the pen, there should be a director, an editor, a producer, someone up there saying, nope, go back and do it again. Because this is just, somebody should be thinking about the long-term effects. They should always be thinking about, you know, the highest allowed of viewer contentment. Like, what is it that the viewers would like most? Not that you can get every viewer to agree to like the same thing. You can't. But what you can do is try to look to, like, the overall majority. Go on people's chat forums and see what they like and don't like about the show. And then compare how many more people are saying the same thing. And then
right, we're all saying the same thing. I think, right? You talk to everybody. We're all saying the same stuff, right? I mean, we're
right.
all pretty much opining about the same stuff, and everybody just seems to dislike it, don't we? Like, dislike the same stuff, not that we all dislike One Night to Live, but we dislike the same topics, correct?
Right, right.
I mean, I don't know. It just, it seems to me that, like, they should really, you're right, that was a perfect, perfect, perfect point of view. They should go on the commentary boards and say, you know what, look, self, let's go get rid of all this terrible language and terrible smut and go back to the drawing board. And
well, actually, this week, the profanity was actually toned down, which when the next column comes out, I touch on that. I really couldn't believe it. I kept waiting. I said, wait a minute. I went, like, you know, I kept rewinding. Like,
oh,
if I was halfway through, I was like, hold on, wait a minute. I actually was rewatching the show up to the point that I rewinded it from because I said I didn't hear not one curse or there wasn't much curses this round.
Oh, no kidding.
And I was
That's
like,
great.
What? So this week, and I think it's more because the main storylines was focused on Vicky and Dorian's demise right now.
Oh, okay.
I think that because it was more there, I haven't even heard Clint curse since he's been there. But Will certainly has.
Oh.
I'm glad of that because I don't think I can handle watching Clint curse.
I know. I hear you. I think that would be even just as dismaying as hearing Bo curse. That's weird.
That would be the last of it. And Bo cursing already, I shake every time.
I don't like that.
Every time.
I don't like that. It's like that's yuck. It's making me upset
now. It's like looking at somebody dressed in an angel's costume, and they said the F word.
Yeah, it's like hearing
your
dad curse.
You know, it's a costume. You're like, dude, you're just like an angel.
Yeah, you're right. It's Bo. It's Bo. Bo is like you're precious. You don't want Bo. Bo is like, you know.
He was always a goody two shoes father.
Yes, that's kind of what I'm getting at. He's like my imagined dad, where you're like, Bo, can you be my dad? I mean, come on. It's just crazy. Not that, you know, my dad's dad or anything, but oh my God.
Yes.
Just upsetting.
It is very ridiculous. It's ridiculous, and it's I don't understand why is it that has to be the first thing that came out. People were they already had a built-in viewer base once the announcement came out that they went through with the production again. You know, once they had announced that they actually were going to go ahead with the viewing again, they already had a built-in base of people ready to pay for it if they had to. So it wasn't like they needed to try to market people. They already had people in. And matter of fact, they had a large mass of people because it was a large mass of people that were already watching One Life to Live when it went off. So to hear that it was coming back, they didn't need to do a little too much changes. They didn't need to do so many changes.
That's true. That's absolutely correct. Couldn't agree more. That's so true.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say all they had to do was just put on the show. Literally,
yes.
Just put it on, and we would have been, like, salivating for it. Like, just put it on from the, like, get-go. Put it on from the end and start it up. And we would have been fine.
There were so many things. Listen, Victor's return alone, okay, was already a whole heap of scripts to write.
Yeah. Like, all
you know, Allison being a character, she could have been written off screen if she didn't want to jump to the Prospect Park, you know, network. There were so many things that could have been done before they started to focus on what was already in place. You know, like Danny Rayburn's character, they already had her on. There really wasn't much to do with her. Why did they focus on trying to age these twins rather than continue the stories that started? These teens should have been allowed to grow a little bit more and absorb and solve the problems that just happened. This girl just found out that her her first father, which was Ross, wasn't really her father. Then she found out it's really Todd Manning, and the Todd Manning she met was not Todd Manning. Now Todd Manning is back. So why didn't they let Danny stay her age and have enough time to process that whole entire cycle scenario?
I hear you. It's baffling. It boggles the mind why they couldn't have just dealt with all the stuff that they had to deal with instead of putting on this craziness.
And bringing in a whole new set of storylines, which has nothing to do with or can be easily connected to the last venue. Okay, so they bring in all these things to make new storylines that they gotta live up to how all this happened.
Yeah,
where did it come from?
It's
and
a
then
lot.
It starts years later, so they don't even have an explanation to tie it to what you left from. And that's the thing, and I've always been told that really wasn't good writing from all my instructors. You know, you really must know how to, people remember details that you might forget.
Exactly. It's like telling a lie. People are going to remember the details, so you got to try to, it's difficult to work with this. And people are getting upset because they're like, well, wait a second. Why are they putting on this show and making us deal with all this subject matter when we could have just had the other show? And it is.
Right.
It's like an entirely different show. And it's very upsetting. It's like we have our actors back. We want our other storylines now.
Yeah, it's like you said. It's like looking at Star and Todd, and they're not Star and Todd.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And, you know, it's like we want to support our show. We want our people. And I don't know. Like I was saying before, it's like I personally.
We didn't get our show. We got some, you know, that I guess that's what most of us are feeling, that we didn't get our show. We got the name. We got a couple of the familiar faces. Believe it or not, I think the only two things in this new stage that is familiar is Landfair and La Boulay. The diners aren't the same. It's all about Club Shelter now. I've never seen that venue ever in Landview. Not
mm-hmm.
even when they were at the docks.
No, it's true. I mean, when they go to La Boulay, I get all excited. I'm like, okay, they go to Landview. I'm like, thank God. I mean, they go to Vicky's, and I'm like, thank God.
Yeah, I remember, yeah. I remember them, yes. You know, and that's really sad because they still, I believe, had an obligation to give you most of what Landview left you with, and then they can build their changes from there because after that it would become their show.
But they were
left with 43 years of fan viewership, okay, that expected things a certain way, and we fought for them to get this opportunity. We did.
That's right. And I don't expect that I want to see a Club Shelter. If they want to stick that on a couple months from now, that's fine. But, I mean, I want to see the places I remember. I want to see, Antonia's mom's place. I want to see all the other places that we know and love. I don't understand it. It's not right.
It's completely crazy. And, it's like when you see a movie sequel. You know, if the sequel is totally unrelated or, you know, to the story, to the original, you're confused. The Matrix 1, The Matrix 2, The Matrix 3.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's so
Twilight
true.
Twilight 1, Twilight 2, Twilight 3, Twilight 4. You have to know where you're coming from. And then, of course, it'll be a whole different saga, but at least there's an explanation to the history. These people brought very little history into this. They didn't even give you a transitional statement on the first show before they aired the very first online episode. Why didn't they give you a transition statement so that you wouldn't feel like you were riding through space?
Oh, my gosh, that's a really valid point. Good point.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was just what I was thinking because it was so confusing. And then to see what I heard, and top it off, I hear Bo cursing to Natalie, his niece.
Yeah.
When they were talking about the DNA test, because I think that Todd is bull essence, you know, and I don't think anybody tried to drug him.
The Yeah, so I typically don't have my my uncle cursing at me.
You know, he's busy telling it all like bananas. Totally crazy today. It's just like, you know, I'm going, what is this show? They should not have called this One Life to Live. They should have called it, you know, something else. Like, you know, Landview Lives or something.
Landview After Dark.
Yeah, thank you, because that's, isn't that what it is, Jill?
Yeah, it's Landview After Dark.
It is Landview After Dark, or, you know, Landview after the camera stop rolls.
Yeah, I think,
you know,
that
make
definitely...
it something else. But not that, that's not One Life to Live.
No,
there's
for
like
sure
a movie
not.
Out. It's called Sparkle. There's a, the movie Sparkle that the youngins know now. They don't know the original movie that this movie is supposed to be, I'm going to say it in quotes, remaking. Okay? That movie is a great movie, but it's not a movie remake for Sparkle. Not in my opinion. It totally does nothing that the other love the other movie did, the original did, except for the fact that there were three sisters that were singing or wanted to be singers.
Hmm.
So, you know, you gotta have some sort of you gotta have some sort of connection or association with the thing you're coming from. I'm sorry. It's hard to look at these people, you know, and like I said, how can you focus on Natalie missing John and being a single mom? And I'm not going with the single mom nonsense, and she's the daughter of two heiresses.
That's what I don't get. That's what I never got about Natalie. They all focus on her career, but she lived at Landfair, for God's sake. I never
she
got that.
She was a Janet.
Yeah, I'm like,
she
you're a freaking freak.
She got a job. She had a damn trust fund. Who are you talking about?
That, I never got that. I'm glad that you said that, because for years I've been trying to figure out that whole issue. I'm like, give me a break, Nat. You lived at Landfair. With your
you
sister and your mom.
Your father and mother are the two richest families in the entire town you're in. They own everything. You can't tell me that you're struggling with a waitress job if you try.
I respect the fact that she works, but she doesn't have to. It's not like she has to. So don't give – yeah, I agree with you. Don't give me that whole single mom bull crap, because you're only doing that because you want to play martyr lady. So it just kills me.
Natalie isn't struggling for anything, because you know what? She had trust funds built up. She had trust funds built up before she even left her house. The minute that they found out that she was Vicky's daughter, and Clint found out that that was his biological daughter.
Right.
She's been set from the Lords and the Buchanans. So come on. Don't give me this, I'm struggling as a single mom. You miss your husband or your husband, your fiancé or the baby daddy. I get it. But don't say that you're struggling. You're not struggling. What are you doing? And then you're a cop. You're a cop's forensic specialist in Landview. You're doing okay.
That's
you'll
so
never
true.
Starve. You're not, even with Vicky's assets being dissimulated right now with the fraudulent funds, Natalie will never starve.
No, she'll be fine. And at the end of the day, she's a pretty girl, so she'll be fine.
But see, even with that, what we just spoke about, even that goes to normal soap stuff. But what I was saying was, you know, they have Natalie telling Liam, who, like I said, has spruced up 4 years or 3 years. Every time you see her with her kid for the 5 or 10 minutes, she's busy interacting with him and telling him that she's leaving.
Yes, she is.
Nobody
says
their kids anymore.
It's true.
No one stays with their kids in Landview. And Sam, I don't think Sam has a father. I don't think Sam has a father. Sam is the most rushed off kid. And that was the other problem I had. Why is Victor busy trying to hold on to Danny, Star, and Jack when he has a kid that, by the way, he lost one baby and there's only really one biological son that he needs to be focusing on?
That is true. That is true.
So I say, hey, Sam, give your dad a hug. All right, go. You going off to bed now. Well, where the hell was he just for the last 3 hours?
He was just in his bedroom. This kid is more off screen and rushed off when he's on screen than I've ever seen.
He is kind of rushed on and off, isn't he?
Oh, I hope somebody writes that in the script where he says, I am not going to bed. I was just there for a whole hour. Nobody takes care of me anymore. I would love that. I would love that.
That would be pretty funny.
Well, we have exactly 4 minutes left in this thing, and I'm going to wrap it up. Jill, it has been wonderful speaking with you and Di and Joanne in Texas. I love this soap venture with you guys. I do. And I think that now what I'm going to do is I'm going to make this, instead of the Friday segment, I'll make it Saturday so you guys have more time to talk about it. Because each week, you know, we're going to have some complaint or something to talk about. But not only that, we will be discussing the commentary, you know, things that you read in the commentary. We will be discussing fantasy scripts when they're back up. It'll just be our little soap lounge to talk.
Oh, cool.
So you guys, you know, feel free to come on in. You definitely made my first debut soap all-day special absolutely wonderful and interesting and funny and insightful. And I love to hear what you all have to say because the writers need to hear it and the producers need to hear it. It's not that we're not grateful. We're very grateful. But they knew what we were expecting when we rooted for this. You know, they knew that Victor was taken away in a bad way and then reintroduced in the worst of ways. They heard our cries and our complaints. That's what they were supposed to be writing to make better.
That they did.
That's what I feel, and I still think that they have a social responsibility to convey the big controversial issues they put out there. They need to follow it up with a resolution so that people watching can get both ends. Well, I'm going to actually end the day off. I want to thank every single one of you that are out there listening. I see a few people on the live streams here. I want to tell you how I appreciate this. We have made 4,205 listeners. I don't know where you're coming from, but I appreciate it. We all do on behalf of OTE. And we hope that everything that we're doing from our community issues to our advertising segments, you know, to all the showcasing and the music and the sports, we hope that it's touching some part of your life, either to make you laugh for the day, to make you think and be informed. And just like now, speaking about soaps, it's we had a two-way side to this. You know, part of it was informative, part of it is to vent, part of it is to talk about how silly some of these outrageous storylines are. So we definitely want to have fun with it on all aspects. But for those of you taking your time to call in and to write me, please let me know. I am taking every single one of them very seriously, and I try to get back to every one of you personally. No, I don't have an agent writing you back. It's me. So thank you for listening, and thanks for coming in today, Jill, and hanging out with me. I'm going to end it off with what you can hear left of the brand new start. So until then, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, and make a difference, okay? See you back here on Monday at 8. Bye, Jill.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.